Well, according to our long-range plan, we're moving ahead with a new approach to pastoral ministry. And come Tuesday morning, it will be different for both Adam Schenck and I. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about moving ahead with missions and outreach. Last Sunday, I talked about moving ahead with praise and worship. And on all of this, I was saying that we don't want to just survive as a church, as a congregation, as a local assembly, but rather that we want to thrive and become all that the Lord wants us to be. But how can we thrive and how can we move ahead as individuals and as a church? Well, one of the things is to remain anchored in Jesus and to practice what I want to talk about this morning. So the title of the sermon today is Moving Ahead in Prayer and Supplication. And we want to turn this morning to God's Word as it's recorded in Ephesians chapter 6. In this particular part of the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul was talking to church members, writing to church members about being strong in the Lord and functioning in the power of His might. And he exhorts the believers to put on what he referred to as the armor of God. And this included things like truth and righteousness and faith and the gospel of peace. And then we come to this particular passage in verses 17 to 20. Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, there are a number of exhortations that come forth in this passage I just read. I'd like to highlight and call our attention and have us think about four of these. One of them will be to pray always. A second one will be to pray in the Spirit. A third one will be to pray for the needs of other people. And the fourth one then will be to pray for personal needs. So first of all, there's the call to pray. There's the call to pray always. Now, for years, I've been a AAA member. I guess for a time I was an Allstate Motor Club member. But for years, I've been a AAA member. But why do I pay for an annual membership? Why do I carry this card in my wallet? Well, I have it in case, just in case I might get stranded someplace and I need somebody to contact that is going to be available to help me in my time of need, to bail me out of my distress. For some, prayer is something that they engage in only when there is an emergency. It's something that they do only when there is a crisis. And so if a person thinks of prayer, though, only as an SOS, then they have missed out on God's intent. Because in our text here this morning, the Apostle Paul is talking about praying always. And this is stated in other passages as well. For example, Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing earnestly," or steadfastly rather, "in prayer." Colossians 4 verse 2 says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Now, this is not to say that we give up our day jobs. We head off to the mountains and we just sort of hang around out there and spend all day Yeah, reciting the prayer, the Lord's Prayer all day long, as fitting as that is, which we heard about in the children's message this morning. Instead, it is to say that prayer becomes a part of our lifestyle, becomes a part of our lifestyle. Now, Daniel became an example. He became an example not only to his contemporaries, but to those of us that are living in the 21st century. In Daniel chapter 6, we read about a government plot. You say, what's new, huh? Well, there was a government plot, and they conspired against Daniel. A decree was enacted that whoever petitions any god or any individual for 30 days other than the king should be cast into a den of lions. So here we are, King Darius had signed this decree, and notice then what was said in verses 10 and 11 of Daniel 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. What we're seeing here is that prayer was a part of Daniel's lifestyle. It was a part of his daily routine. And by the way, it undoubtedly was Daniel spending time on his knees that enabled him to remain on his feet when he encountered trials and tribulations and difficulties in life. What about you and I? Does our routine include coming before the Lord in prayer? Do we continue to ask, seek, and knock? Do we regularly approach our Heavenly Father? According to the scripture that we're looking at here this morning, the call is to pray always. Okay, let's move on then to the second exhortation. The second thing we want to make note of as we consider our text, we're to pray in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, most of us are used to praying in the name of Jesus, but what about the third person of the Trinity? What is up with this? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life? And are you and I mindful of the Spirit's presence and of His work and of what He wants to do in and through us? Now, some may interpret this particular passage as a matter of praying in tongues, a prayer language. But I personally don't believe that that's the case. It seems to me that it has more to do with our overall walk in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, so that the Spirit is directing our lives in the whole of Christian living. Jude 20 and 21 is a passage that we can reflect on as we do what we hopefully do oftentimes, and that is to compare Scripture with Scripture. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praying in the Holy Spirit. How then might this be experienced in our lives? Well, for one thing, there may be a prompting to pray. There's a song that picks up on that reality. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. You know what? That's not just a nice ditty from back yonder sometime. That picks up on what our text is talking about. It reminds us that people who are walking with the Lord have times when they sense a call to pray for someone or for something. And it's not that the call comes on the church prayer chain. It's that the call comes internally, prompted by the Spirit of the Lord. There may also be a prompting to pray in a particular manner. Prompting to pray in a particular manner. Now, I could save this for our praise and prayer time, but I'm going to share it now because it illustrates so well what I think this is talking about. Thank you, Kathy Holt, for your permission to share this morning. Kathy has a neighbor that had a need recently. The neighbor has had a number of challenges, among them multiple surgeries. And then on top of that, a practical issue that popped up at the house in regards to a plumbing situation. And there were not the financial resources to just pick up the phone and call somebody and have come and to take care of that problem. Now, last Sunday morning, Kathy and I were chatting before the service, and she was sharing me about her neighbor. And I said, let me see what I can do here. So I collaborated with an elder and said, hey, should we perhaps offer our help? And I went back to Kathy and said, the church will help. Why don't you make some arrangements? And just make sure that the plumber is open or willing to take a church check. So, sounds good. But guess what happened? That ended up not being needed. In fact, you had to cancel the plumber that you had arranged for. Yeah, so here's what happened. When Kathy Holt originally became aware of that need and was praying about it, she prayed in a particular way. She prayed that a plumber would actually show up at her neighbor's door, right? Yes, that's how she prayed. And that, brothers and sisters, is precisely what happened. There was a plumber that somehow found out through someone or whatever about this need, came by, offered his help, and did his work at no cost for his labor. So, do you see what I'm saying? Being prompted to pray in a particular manner, that's God at work right there. Sometimes the Spirit prompts individuals to pray, and sometimes the Spirit prompts individuals, you and I, to pray in a particular manner for a given situation. Now, at times there may also be a prompting to just say, in essence, Lord, you've got to take over here. This is just beyond me, us, whatever. And so there may be a prompting to do something like that. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's what Bonnie was talking about earlier. According to the will of God. Yeah. Have you ever felt totally overwhelmed? And totally drained, perhaps, or totally perplexed? And what a blessing it is to realize that there is one who will plead our case in situations like that. Praise the Lord. Yes. So, pray always. Pray in the Spirit. And then I said, thirdly, we wanted to reflect a bit about the call to pray for others. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, a church that is moving ahead is a church or a people that are not just focused inwardly. They're not just focused and consumed by themselves or with themselves. It's a church or a people that are praying for others. They're concerned about the needs of others. Now, in Acts chapter 12, let me give you an illustration here. In Acts chapter 12, there, we read about a time when Peter was arrested and put in prison for his ministry. It says in verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So, what happened in this particular situation? Well, God intervened. And at night, there was an angel that appeared by Peter's side. A light shone in the prison. The angel struck Peter on the side, raised him up, and said, "Get up quickly!" And the chains fell off of his hands. Ta-da. Peter was told to follow the angel, and so they went to the first guard post. They went past the second guard post. They came to an iron gate that leads to the city, and this gate opened on its own accord. And Peter finally gained his composure in all of this and realized that what was going on wasn't just a dream. It was the real deal. This was actually happening. According to verse 12, "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many," notice this now, "where many were gathered together praying." It's the church, not just individuals praying, but the church gathered together to pray. People, and in this prayer gathering, it is funny, because when Peter arrived, it's like, who's that? And these folks were astonished. They were literally astonished at what they were seeing before their very eyes, or who they were seeing. And you know what? When we see God at work, we too have times when we are astonished. Isn't it so? Well, I am. I hope you are too, have times when you are astonished. It was obvious what Peter's need was, but that's not everyone's need. What about people that need to be freed from spiritual bondage? What about they are chained, bogged down in their sins, under the control of the evil one, the devil? Well, let me share, again for illustrative purposes here, some scripture where this kind of matter was the prayer focus. So we have Romans 10:1, for example. "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." My prayer is that they might be saved. Colossians 4:2-3, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door," not just a prison door where somebody that was arrested and in there could walk out, but "open a door for the word, so the mystery of Christ could be proclaimed. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you." I just really appreciate how the MSG puts it. It says, "Pray that the Master's word will simply take off and race through the countryside to a groundswell of response." What do you think? Is that something that would be good for you and I to be praying about? To be praying for? That the word would race through the countryside, resulting in a groundswell of response. What if we would gather together and start praying that way? Do you think God would work? We need to be concerned and prayerful when it comes to people's physical needs. Uh, Right now, for example, we need to keep Genevieve Hadlin in our prayers and others that are dealing with pain and sickness. But you know what? For the church to move ahead, we need to also pray about the spiritual needs that people have that is causing them to be sick in their sin and rebellion. In Mark chapter 11, we read about a time when Jesus came into the temple and he ended up doing what was unthinkable. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves and was getting the merchants to skedaddle and get out of there. And then it says in verse 17, he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves'?" My house, Jesus said, shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Should we be praying about the needs of people in our church? Absolutely. But it shouldn't stop there. The church is also to pray for other people. The church is to be a house of prayer for all nations. So, pray always. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for others. And that brings us to the fourth thing we want to make note of here, and that is to pray for personal needs. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, think about yourself now. What would you say that right now, this morning, is your greatest need? Is it for wisdom? If so, the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. James 1:5. Is it for dealing with temptation? Jesus told his disciples, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And then he taught the disciples to pray in this fashion: "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Is your greatest need physical? There again, God's word is something to say. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." James 5:14. Or is your greatest need just some challenging situation that you are confronted with right now? Perhaps seems like more than you can handle. Well, Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." But the entire thing there, calling upon the Lord in our day of trouble. And in our text, the Apostle Paul saw his need as something different, actually, from the situations that I've just articulated or given, again, for illustrative purposes. Wow, you could go and look at how many other passages that talk about this entire matter of praying. But Paul wanted people to pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He saw within himself a need or a desire that he might be more of a witness for Christ. And I wonder, might that help us to move ahead as a church if we too prayed for the Lord to, or ask for people to pray, that the Lord would infuse us with a dose of holy boldness? Perhaps not just going to Rite Aid for our flu shot, but for the Lord to give us a spiritual shot. Well, regardless of what the specific need is, we're to pray about it, we're to continue in prayer as individuals, and we're to be continuing in prayer as a congregation, as a group of believers. So, moving ahead in prayer and supplication. Lord, we do thank you for who you are, and that you are sufficient for all these things, and that you desire and invite and call us to seek you. Help us, O God, that we might indeed pray in the Spirit and thus experience you at work. And yes, Lord, we pray that you would continue to open doors of opportunity, and that the word would race through the countryside in a groundswell of response, and that you would help us to have a holy boldness in these days that we're living in, and you would just continue to be at work, and that you would continue to surprise us by how you work and by what you do, and that we could continue to give testimony as we experience and see you at work. And you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would please stand, we're going to sing through Lord.